10. Mark chapter 10. Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was reading my Bible. I do that once in a while. Thank you. Thank you. And I noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ, I was reading the Gospels, and I noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ did a lot of touching. Touched a lot of people. And that interested me, and I came to that scripture where in Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, and he took them up into his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. And you're talking about little children. And I thought, you know, we live in such a wicked society today. And we have to be so careful about what we do anymore. And I was at camp, and they give this, we give a, forget what they call it, it's a documentation on child abuse and everything, and we have to go, we teach the counselors about what to do and what not to do. And I thought, you know, we have lost this wonderful thing about taking a kid in our arms and hugging them and telling them you love them. And now today at camp, where they say that you cannot initiate a hug to a child, you can't initiate touching them. Well, you know, I've been a pastor 47 years, and I've initiated a lot of touches, a lot of godly touches, touching their heads. The boys this morning, I call them hound dogs, these little guys in our church. You little hound dogs. And, man, I'll rustle their head. That's touching to me, man. And one little guy came up, just about knocked me down today. These guys are getting kind of big, you know. And I love you, preacher. And I think that we've lost a lot of that. And I encourage you dads, make sure you hug your daughter. Let her know you love her. Because if you don't hug her, somebody else is going to. And you'd show your love to them. Mamas, you hug your sons. And Dad, just put your arm around that old boy and hug him and give him old Dutch rub. Y'all know what a Dutch rub is. You take him up. Yeah. Or grab him by the back of the neck. Say, this is how they pick up turkeys in Kalkalin, Michigan. And pick them up like that. That hurts a little bit. So you just let them know that. You know, let them know that. Toughen them up, man. But so I was thinking about that. And I thought, you know, all of a sudden I thought about the touches of God. And so I'm having a difficult, I'll be honest with you, I'm having a difficult time getting the sermon together, okay? And yesterday morning, 4:30 in the morning, I wake up and I got this sermon outline. Can you believe that? And I'm tired. I don't want to get up. But I got up anyway and wrote it down. And so here's a sermon I've worked on for 3 weeks, but I couldn't get, find the points to it. But I got the points yesterday morning at 4:30. I worked that until about 9:30 yesterday morning, and just fill in the blanks. Amen. First of all, we see the Holy Scriptures, God's creative hand, according to all the data found in the Word of God, that was provided by the Holy Ghost, recorded to Moses, and to write the book of Genesis. Anyone can trace back the generation to generation from the time of the beginning, Adam to Jesus, was about 4,000 years. Historically, you can trace back our 2,000 years since Jesus Christ came to live physically on this earth. And God gives us a perfect standard of time. He gives us a perfect standard of years, and he proves that the world is just 6,000 years old since it's created everything from the beginning. God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but I keep hearing all this evolutionary stuff, and everybody say, well, it's billions and billions and billions. Well, how can it be billions and billions of years when God said he created the heaven and the earth? Any imbecile can understand that, amen. Just read what the Bible says, amen. And God said, in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth, and creating it out of nothing. And the word in the Hebrew is exilio, with E-X-H-I-L-O. It means to create out of nothing. And you know, all matter has come from someplace, amen. I'll tell you where it came from. God spoke it, and it happened. Amen. The second evidence was God's hand was in judgment on those that were unwilling to obey his word. God gave the first law to mankind after he had hand-formed them out of the dust of the ground. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." God said, hey, here's what I have a contraband here. You can have anything you want. He said to Adam, you can eat freely of any tree, any kind of herb, any kind of vegetable in the garden, but I have a special tree. It's true of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not yours. That's mine. Leave it alone. Don't eat of it. Don't take from it. It's mine. And you know the story too well. Satan comes to Eve and says, listen, God's not going to kill you. And very interesting how that Eve even put in new words that said that God said we're not even to touch it. God didn't say you were supposed to not touch it. God said don't eat of it. Amen. It's amazing how that we can twist the words of God into our own ways, you know. And they ate, and great sorrow came upon all creation. What God had made destroyed much of it because of sin. Then we see that God's hand in making a covenant with a spirit, special people, so that mankind be able to communicate God's word and be able to record God's demands of mankind, giving the law. God said, "I want Abraham. I'm going to make you a great nation, and because of you." And of course, for most of us, we realize they're Jews or Israelites. This great nation, and this great nation. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This great nation gave us the word of God. Every book of the Bible is written by a Jew. It was written by a Jew. The Holy Spirit used it a great way. And I know Luke was greatly used by God. But we find the scripture was given to these people to be the depository, or they're to be the bank. They're to be the ones who had kept the Word of God holy. And by the way, if you read the scriptures and talk about the scribes, how that they would take the Bible and they would write out the Word of God, and when they came to the Word God, they would literally go and wash themselves and start with a brand new quill, the brand new pen, and they would write the word Jehovah or Elohim. They write it. And they were so careful about the Word of God. In fact, if they made a mistake, they would destroy that paper. They're very careful about that. They're very careful about scribing the Word of God. Aren't you glad about that? We've got the Word of God, and it's ours. It's perfect Word of God. It's the most amazing thing with the living Word of God. And so God said, I want these people to take care of the Word of God for me. And he did. Amen. But God just set up laws, and so that we could keep them. When a group of people come together, there must be have laws to govern each other so that the people can live in peace. Years ago out at our camp, it was just our camp. There's nobody across the river, nobody beside us, nothing. It was just our camp, all right? But all of a sudden, these people think it's a good idea to come in and live by our camp. And so now that we got to live by, there's some more laws that have to be put in. There's sewage laws and there's, all kinds of stuff that has to be just so careful. And that's not wrong. I'm glad they have stop signs. I'm glad they have speed limits. There's a reason for those things. The laws are put up to protect us and keep us safe. I'm glad they have quality of water. I'm glad that's a good deal. It's a good deal. And so when a group of people come together, now a few old Montana boys living out here out on the mountain, there ain't nobody except the grizzly bear and the antelope and the elk, you don't have to live by too many laws. But Montana was a territory and not very many laws. All of a sudden, we've got people coming in here, and all of a sudden, we have some problems. And then you have to have sheriffs, and you had to have peace officers, and had to have judges, and. And so, the same way with mankind, there has to be laws. I remember when I took my son down to Bob Jones University, I remember Dr. Bob Jones III making a statement to us anxious parents explaining why they have so many rules. And he said the reason for all the rules at BJU boils down to this. We have over 5,000 students trying to get to their next class in 10 minutes. He says, that's why we have rules. Now, a lot can go wrong with 5,000 people, amen. Especially when they just left mom and daddy, amen. We also see the hand of God in giving God's Son. Oh, His greatness and His mercy and His grace of this truth that He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. My, as I read the life of Jesus Christ on earth, I am amazed that He was always reaching out and touching mankind. He who formed and fashioned man out of the ground. Scripture teaches us that He held her out by the hand and He lifted them up. He touched the children. He laid hands on them. He touched them. These children at the time of Christ's ministry were greatly privileged to be touched by the Master's hand. Can you imagine today? Can you imagine today if Jesus was here? And you people that have these little children in our church, and wouldn't you want Jesus to hold your baby? Wow, what a privilege it must have been to touch the Master's hand, to be taken into His arm, and He prayed for them. Our practice of baby dedication today, we seek to follow that example. How happy are those children whose parents are married in the will of God and who are seeking to obey God, who bring them to Jesus for a blessing. Boy, we all ought to want to do that. We ought to want to raise our children up to serve God in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. I want you to note in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, then were brought little children. Probably these were brought by some of His followers who desired not only to devote themselves to Jesus, but after all, have their children as well to be devoted to Christ. All the Jews were accomplished devoting their children to God by the circumcision. It is a natural, therefore, under new dispensation that it should be done. Luke says that these were infants, little ones. Undoubtedly, they weren't old enough to make up their choice. They wanted to come to Jesus. They were brought by their parents because the parents wanted them to meet Jesus. I was out bus calling yesterday and saw one in it. I told somebody, I said, why don't you give your child a chance at least to come to church? At least to hear about Jesus. Give them a chance at least to know that there's a God that loves them and that gave His only begotten Son for them. And give them a chance to hear that the wonderful story of Jesus that promised us that if we died today, we'd go to heaven. Give them a chance to come to church. And that's exactly what these people do. They're bringing their children to Jesus Christ. He put His hands on them and He prayed. It was customary among the Jews when blessings were brought for others in prayer, they lay their hands on their head by a person prayed for them, implying the kind of consecration to God. They had also much confidence in the prayers of pious men, the ministers, the pastors, believing that those blessed by the saints or prophets would be happy. But we see Satan always has his way of trying to keep kids out of church, amen? Disciples rebuked them. That is, reproved them and told them, hey, this is improper because they thought these children were too young. Or because they thought that they would be troublesome to the Master. Boy, I tell you how important it is that we would get our children to be touched by the Lord God. Amen. There's a song that goes, He touched me, shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame, the Lord, the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Since I met the blessed Master, and since He cleaned and made me whole, I never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened when I know He touched me and made me whole. Listen, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, God touches us. and changes our heart, changes our ways of life. And what a wonderful thing to think the Master would touch us. I wrote down some scriptures about how that Jesus Christ touched them. He took them in his arms and put his hand upon them and blessed them. Luke 18:15, and they brought him also influence that he would touch them. Many times when my three boys were young, I'd go to conferences and I'd bring them up to some preachers and I'd say, "Hey, would you pray for my boys?" And I know Brother Howes took all three of my boys and just huddled them like that. And he prayed for my boys. I want God to touch my family. In fact, I want God to touch me. Because I'm raising these boys. I need some help, amen. All of us need help raising our children. I talked to a family yesterday and they said, "Boy," I said, "this world is getting so crazy." Yeah, it is. That's why it's so important we come to church. You know, the church is that the world is not in the church. We come out of the world to come to church. Amen. That's what bothers me. A lot of these churches, they got the world in the church. Man, they're playing rock and roll and going crazy. I mean, I can't even stand it. Loud, boisterous. Listen, I want the Bible talks about we ought to have everything decently in order. Amen. And I'm afraid there's a lot of stuff going on there that's not decent. It's not in order. You can't expect to bring the world into the church, get people to get to serve the Lord, to live for God. We ought to be very careful about what we do and what we bring into church. Amen. Well, the Bible said in Mark chapter 8:22, and he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer us thus far," and he touched his ear and healed him. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the street and besought him that he might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and they betouched him, and they would be made whole. The touches of Jesus, amen. And he took him aside from the multitude, the Bible said, and he put his finger in his ear, and he spit in his tongue and touched his tongue. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." Immediately the leprosy departed from him. Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, the Lord touching. Here's another in Luke chapter 7, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier. The bier is a thing that they carry the dead body in. And the bearer stood still and said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And that man came alive. Amen. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and followed him. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And he touched their eyes and saying, "According to the faith, be it unto you." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What a Savior. When we ask Jesus Christ to touch us, ask Jesus Christ to ask forgiveness of our sins, come in our heart, he will. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad you're on the way to heaven? There's a song I like. It's called, "Oh, What a Savior." Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. He searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor soul like me. He left Father and all his riches with calmness sweet and serene, came down from heaven and gave his lifeblood to make the vilest sinner clean. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe o'er. I'll join the chorus in that bright city and sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred. His side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. This is what I'm looking for. Here's the next thing I'm looking for in God's hand, and that's the rapture. The Bible said, and dead in Christ are rising. You know, the trump of God shall sound, dead in Christ rise, and those that remain shall be caught up. I'm looking for Jesus coming back. I'll tell you what, it's crazy this world's getting to be. It's ready. This whole world is ripe. It's ready to go. I mean to tell you, the craziness that's going on in this country of ours is just unbelievable. But it's not just our country. It's all the countries of the whole world. I mean, it's just... You read the newspapers like reading Ezekiel. It's like reading the Revelation. It's the most incredible thing that happened in this world. You and I know that it's time for the Lord coming back, and I hope you're ready. I hope you've received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I hope you've received the hand of Jesus Christ in salvation. I hope that you're ready to serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's the greatest thing in your life, is to serve God. I hope that you want to bring your children to church. I hope you get them immersed in this, in the doctrines and the teaching of the Word of God. By the way, I'm not here to make you Baptist out of here. I'm here to make you a Biblicist. I'm here to you study the Word of God. I think that Baptist is as close as you can get to it. But I tell you what, I'm concerned about what's going on in this world. Satan has certainly got everything, every stop pulled out. He throttles up. He's just trying everything he can to destroy everything that mankind has tried to do to serve God. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that says, greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And he loves you, and he cares for you, and he wants to touch you. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be on my side. I want Jesus to grab a hold of my hand and follow me through this whole world. I need help. So do you need help. All of us need help. All of us need help raising our children. All of us need help leading our homes. All of us need help in our children, raising our children up in our schools, and the crazy, vile things that are going on in there. We just need help. And brother, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Who's going to give you the right words? Who's going to tell you the truth? I'll tell you, well, first of all, you ought to read your Bible every day. Every day, read your Bible. Every day, you ought to pray. Every day, you ought to pray. And beg God. Beg God for your children. Beg God that you're always putting them close to Jesus, so he can put his arms around about them. Amen. I hope to God that God does a great work in your heart and your life. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I pray that you would accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I pray that you'd say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I talked to a lady yesterday. I said, do you know you're a sinner? She laughed at me. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I said, you know, you got to pay for your sins. I said, two ways you can pay it. Number one, you can pay it yourself, go to hell, burn there forever. That doesn't seem like a very good option to me. Or you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, come into your heart. And he will forgive your sins, all of them. And then you need to ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. It's pretty simple, isn't it? God made it simple. Made it simple for us.